Before we even start this morning, I do want to make a real special mention of Jim McKinnon, who is sitting right there. Jim has been on our leadership team for probably 10 years at least. And those of you who don't know Jim and Vera, Jim basically helped design this church and did an amazing amount of work, saved us a fortune in architectural fees. But it's actually, I said to Jim the other day, because it's time he's actually stepping off the leadership team. And I said to him, you know what, Jim, you may be stepping off the leadership team, but you are an elder, a spiritual man in this church. And it's because of people like you that our church is where it is. And so for Jim, and I can't see Vera, she's gone out to kids, has she? Yeah, she's not well. Okay. It is because of people like you and Vera, Jim, that our church is what it is. And we just want to thank you so much for your years of service on our leadership team. Can we just give Jim a hand and thank him? And there will be, as we head in towards the AGM, there will be some spots on the leadership team, and we'll let you know a little bit more about that as time comes. But today is Vision Sunday, and every year in our church we have a word that we focus on. Last year our word was engage. I really felt the Spirit of God was saying to us to lean in and to engage with God, to engage with our community, to engage with our church. And I've been tossing this thought around in my mind and praying and seeking God about what it is that He is saying to us for this year. And I've been talking to lots of different people and talking about where our church is at and how things are going. And there's a word that God has given me for us for this year. And the word is capacity. Capacity. And capacity is the ability to understand or to produce. And as I've been contemplating where we're at as a church and what is the next season of our church life, because seasons are actually really important, this word just kept coming to mind. Capacity. The ability to produce knowledge along that line, the ability to understand or produce. A capacity is about how much you can do, what you have the capacity to complete. And I believe and I sense that God is actually going to stretch our capacity as a church this year. And I actually think that's really important. Capacity has to do with trust, actually. If a community, and I'm talking about the wider community, if a community feels that you are there consistently, they can trust you. But in order for you to be consistent, in order for you to continue to do what you're doing and do it week in, week out, you need a certain capacity. You need a certain strength. As I'm saying this, some of you are thinking and this is what's going on in your mind, because this goes through my mind sometimes. You know what, Mark? I hope you're not going to ask us to do any more than what we're already doing. You know, last year, 2017, was a stressful year for me. There was a lot that went on. And when I got to Christmas time and when I finally got to my Christmas holidays, I just fell in a collapse and blah, I'm done and I'm glad that year is over. For some of you, the thought of adding more to your schedule is depressing to even think about and confronting to even think about. So you're actually saying in your mind, Mark, please don't ask me to do more because I've done enough and I need to stop. But I want to actually push back on that a little bit this morning. And I want to say, well, firstly, I want to say actually God has more for you. And there is no question about that. The fact of the matter is that God looks upon every single soul in this house, in this room this morning. And He sees potential. And He sees and He knows. Take this word. Maybe you don't think this word is for you, but this word is for you. He sees every single one of you. And He says, you know what? There are things that I have for you this year. There are lives that I want you to touch. There are people that I want you to talk to. There is ministry that I want to see you do. And He's actually saying to you, actually, there is more. But the reason I think that we actually feel that we're stretched and pushed and pulled and are unable to do more, even what God is calling us to, is because we don't actually have the capacity for it. The reason we feel stressed and pushed and prodded in every way is because we don't have the capacity. Let me give you a simple illustration to make my point. You've got a family. You've got three kids. You buy a five-seat car. In that five-seater car, you can put your three kids in the back, mum and dad in the front. The car is at capacity. Then you find out, oh, great, she's pregnant again. We're going to have to buy, some of you know what I'm saying, we're going to have to buy another car. So you buy another car. You buy a seven-seater car. That then is where you have reached capacity. It's not the fact that this car that you had is no good. It's just it's at capacity and I need a bigger car. And so therefore you have a bigger car and you can get around with your whole family until an accident happens again. And you've got to buy another car. Capacity, listen, capacity is your ability to be able to produce. And so often the reason we are stressed and pushed and pulled and prodded is because we just don't have the capacity to do what we're called to do. And I want to encourage you this morning. I actually believe God wants to grow your capacity. Not so you're more stressed. Not so you get to the end of the year and you just collapse. But God actually wants to increase your capacity, your strength, your knowledge, your ability to be able to do more. And I think he actually wants to stretch our church's capacity as well. I actually feel like as I look around our community, as I think about the people in the suburbs around us, as I think about our city, and it's not a great stretch to say our city. You go to the back and you have a look at the suburbs of all the people that come to our church from as far away as Ellenbrook, Darlington, High Wycombe to Dianola and all the suburbs around here. The impact that we can actually have upon our community, upon our city, upon our state, upon our nation, and let's go there, upon our world, is only limited by our capacity. And I truly believe that today and this day and this year is not a year that we're to shrink back. It's not a year that we are to consolidate and stop. I want to go out in a blaze of glory if that's what it takes. But I don't want to stop. I don't want us to stop and I don't want you to stop. I want you to understand that in fact this year for you may very well be a year that your capacity is increased. Last year for me was a year that at the start of the year I said, you know what, I'm going to start saying yes to things because for too long I've been trying to set boundaries in place and say no. And so I started saying yes to a lot of things and it actually really stretched me. But in that stretching I found I was stronger. And I found I was able to do more. And at times it was uncomfortable. And at times I had to push through. But I come to the end of the year and I feel like my capacity has been increased. I wonder what it is for you. I wonder what God has for you. Because I truly believe he actually has more for you. As I was planning this message, I'm going to be really frank and open with you. Normally my sermon is ready by Thursday. And if it's not done by Thursday, then I'm stressed. Melinda will tell you that. I'm all antsy around the home. I need that message done by Thursday so I can practice it and think about it. It got to Saturday morning and she was going off for, Melinda, my wife, was going off for something with her mother. And I just sat down and opened up my scriptures and opened up my Bible. Because the problem I had was I had these two seemingly competing thoughts in my mind about what to say this morning. And so I thought, you know what? I'll open up the Bible. What could go wrong? So I opened up the scriptures and I flipped open to Matthew chapter 25. And it was fascinating to me as I'm reading these two parables that Jesus gave, how they seemingly, it's like a paradox. There's like two thoughts that are both true, but it's almost like, well, how does that one fit with that one? And I was so interested because I had these two thoughts in my mind and yet Jesus or Matthew, who put the book together, put these two parables together. Different, but the same. And these two thoughts came together beautifully. And I said, thank you, Jesus, because until that point, I was really confused about what I was going to say this morning. I didn't know what to do and where to go. But I flipped open the scriptures. These two parables came into mind, and I want to unpack them this bit this morning. Matthew 25, if you've got a Bible, you can read it, or you can just follow along on the screen. Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven, and I want to give a bit of a disclaimer. You know when you open up the Bible and you read it, there's a context that it was written to. There's a thought and a primary thought. But there are also very often principles and ideas that you can gain from that scripture. Wisdom that you can gain from that scripture, which are almost ancillary to the main thought. And that's the wisdom I want to tap into this morning. Because there's a thought in this scripture which I so want you to get. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. Who wants to be wise? Who wants to be foolish? You know, wisdom doesn't just happen by accident. James 5 tells us if you want wisdom, you ask and God will give it. If you want wisdom, you read, you learn, you stretch your capacity through wisdom. Well, this is a passage of scripture that shares a very wise thought about capacity. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The 5 who were foolish didn't take enough olive oil for their lamps, but the other 5 were wise enough to take along extra oil. When the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. So the situation is that they needed to have these lights fueled by olive oil. They needed to keep that ready to go so when he came, they could go in with him. He was late. Some had prepared extra capacity. Some had stored up some olive oil for the moment when he came so they would be ready. Next slide, thanks, Clem. At midnight, they were roused by the shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Come out and meet him." All the bridesmaids got up and prepared their lamps. Then the 5 foolish ones asked the others, "Please give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the others replied, "We don't have enough for all of us. Go to a shop and buy some for yourselves." You know, the scripture's funny, isn't it? What, downtown Jerusalem, midnight, we're going to go to a shop? Is there like an olive oil shop open in first century Palestine that you can buy olive oil from? This is 24-hour olive oil shop. Anyway, whatever, that's where they were going to go. "We don't have enough oil. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves." While they were gone to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Then those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. And the door was locked. What's the wisdom in this passage? What's the story in this passage? How does it apply to us as a church? How does it apply to you in your life? There's a really important principle here. And it's basically store up. Store up. You know the story of the dream in the Old Testament where the king has a dream. And the prophet interprets his dream and he says, you know, you need to store up hay from your barn for 7 years. Because there's going to be 7 years where there's actually going to be drought. I want to say something here today, and it's strong, but I so want you to hear it. Please listen. If I'm going to read the season in the life of our church right now, I want to say, actually, we're in a very healthy season. I want to say that this church is growing and God is doing some amazing things. But more than that, there is so much here that you can hook into, that you can get oil from. There are so many good things going on. This is a place of health. This is a place of life. This is the place where the scriptures are preached. This is a place where you can come and worship. This is a place where you can get into a life group and you can learn and you can grow. But let me say something, that the foolish person says, you know what? Times are good. Things are great. I don't need to worry. I'm just going to coast along. But you know, and some of you know because you had an awful year last year. How did you get through? How did you cope when trouble comes? When doubt comes? How do you cope in your life when things are stressed? How do you cope when disaster comes, when a relationship breaks up, when you lose your job? How do you get through? It's the oil you've stored up. It's what you've invested into your heart, into your family, into your life. It is the faith that you have deepened with your God that sustains you for that time of drought. So when times are good and when the seasons are good, that is not the time, actually, to be honest, to just coast along and say, well, it's always going to be good. No, that is the time to make sure your lamp is full of oil. Make sure that you are full of the Holy Spirit. Make sure that you have stored up. While the sun is shining, I will make hay. I will store that hay. Some of you, life is actually cruising along and you're coasting and things are okay and disaster hasn't come. I notice sometimes that some people, no one here, of course, but sometimes people just hook into church and get involved and come along when things aren't going well. And I understand that. When things are stressed and tough and tight in your life, I want to go to God. I need God. But the reality is, the temptation is for all of us, when things are good, to actually just coast along because you don't need God. But I want to say, in order for your capacity to be increased, in order for you to be able to get through those times and get through the difficult time that may or may not come, stretch, lean in, increase your capacity, store up. There's another principle, another piece of wisdom, which at first glance may seem to run contradictory to what I've just said. It doesn't. And I'm so glad these two passages are together in the scripture, because Jesus goes on and he tells another parable from the same passage. Verse 14, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more. And said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Let's just stay in the scripture for a minute. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's just focus on this last phrase here for a moment. It's actually key. Let's celebrate together. How do you view God? What do you think of God? A while back at our Whisper conference, Alan DeMond asked the question, if God was going to play a game with you, what would he play? For some people, that's actually a sacrilegious question. Well, God doesn't play games. Why would God play a game with me? But that actually reveals something about what you think about God. I love this line because the master says to the servant, let us have a party together. Let us celebrate together. How do you view God? Do you view him as a God who wants to celebrate and have a party with you? How you view him is going to determine so much of what you do with what you have. The servant who God gave 5 bags of silver to, he understood and he knew what the master was like. He knew God wanted to celebrate and have a party with him. And that's indeed what happened. The story goes on. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest and I've earned 2 more. The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I'm going to give you many more responsibilities. Let us celebrate together. There's another real important piece of wisdom in this passage. And it's simply this. And this is where capacity comes into it. You are a river. You are not a billabong. You are a river. You are not a billabong. In God's kingdom, you are a river. You are not a billabong. What the heck am I talking about? You know, a river is a conduit of goodness that flows, and it brings life to the trees and to the fruit on the branches. You are meant to be a conduit of God's blessing. You are not meant to be a billabong, a stagnant pond of water where everything flows in and stays and dies. Here's the point about capacity, and here's the point about this story. What happens when he makes two bags of silver for his master? What does his master do? He gives him more. He gives him more. Here's the thing about capacity. Sometimes, if we're honest, we hold on to that which we've been given. Gifts, talents, finances, time, whatever it is. We hold on to this inspiration, to this idea, and we keep it all to ourselves. And we think by that we're going to increase what we have. The paradox of the scripture is entirely different. The way we increase is by being a river through which all of God's goodness flows. And we're generous and we give it all away. Five talents, two talents, one talent. Whatever you've been given, in order to increase your capacity, you need to start being generous and giving that away. You know, as a pastor, as a minister in a church, I look at that scripture in Ephesians which says that the minister, the pastor, is to be the equipper of the saints. When Jesus saw the church, and when Jesus thought about the church, and when the apostle Paul thought about the church, and when he thought about leaders in the church, what he says to me is that I'm to be an equipper of the saints who will do the work of the ministry. We get it wrong when the paid staff are the ones doing all the ministry. We get it right when what I'm trying to do is help you be all you can be in the kingdom of God. Help you see your gifts and your talents and what you have be released. That's when we're at our best. And that is when your capacity is going to be increased. I wonder if you feel like you've been given something from God, a talent, a gift, an ability. And I wonder what you do with that. The third and the final servant. The servant with one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh... What? I knew you were a harsh man? Now, it's not true, really. But that was his perception, that his master was a harsh man. And thereby it determined what he did with what God had given him. I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I hate this next word. I was afraid. We are not. You are not of those that shirk back. We are not of those that say we can't do this and it's just going to be miserable and let's just sit and let's watch things get smaller. No, I was afraid. I had the wrong perception of God. I thought he was harsh and I was afraid. That's not us. We're not afraid. Perfect love drives out fear. And we know that God actually wants to sit and have a party with us. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops that I didn't plant and gathered crops that I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have got some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant, give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. That's wisdom right there. They will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. That's very grave. That's very strong. That's very confronting. When you think about all the things that God has given you, when you think about where he's placed you, when you think about your capacity, when you think about your talents, what do you think? Where do you see those things being used? I believe this year is a year that God is actually going to stretch us, and God is going to stretch our capacity. And I believe and I hope that for you, that is your story, and you come on that journey with us. And we see what God can do. Because there's suburbs to be reached. There are people to be reached. There's a city to be reached. There's a state to be, there's a world to be reached. And I believe God is calling us all to say yes, to take what he's given and be a river, not a billabong, and to store up and store up as the good times are coming and the good times are here. There's a final scripture I want to read. And this is my original thought as I was preparing this message. And it comes from, next one, Clem. Thank you. Psalm 145. And I'm not hopefully being too theatrical, but I have a reason why I'm coming down here. Because I don't want you to look at me. I want you to look up the board at the scripture. I want you to look at those words. I will exalt you, my God and King, and praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. Let's just stay on the scripture for a moment. No one can measure his greatness. When you think about God and you think about what he's like, when you consider who he is to you, when I read that scripture, I just want to break out in song. I want to break out in worship. I will exalt you, my God and King. Praise your name forever and ever. I will praise you every day. You know, when I look at that scripture and I think about the God that we serve, I think about the good God that he is. When I think about worshiping him and bowing down before him, what do you see? My God, my King, I will praise your name forever. I will praise you every day. Consistently, I will praise my God. Great is the Lord. When we consider, and when you consider all the things that are in your life, all the things that could have your focus, all the things that could have your attention, when you think about what you've done this year, this past year, and what you've got planned for this year to come. Where is God in the midst of all that for you? Where is your God in the midst of all that? What level and what priority does God actually take in your life? When you think about your capacity and what you're going to do and what this year looks like for you, where does God fit into all that? You know, this scripture goes on, and this next verse is in my top five. I've said that a lot, but it's true of this one. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your... Don't you love that? You know, this is being a river, not a billabong. This is letting the next generation rise up. This is giving over. This is allowing them to have their voice. I want to say a phrase that I heard this week, and it's so powerful. And it's this. Sentimentality destroys significance. Sentimentality destroys significance. Sentimentality is where we say, you know what, I just want things to stay the same way they always were. I want to be comfortable. I think back to the good old days and I think back to them with sentiment. But the problem with that, and maybe this next word is the most confronting, is it actually destroys significance. We get scared of the word significance in churches because we think, well, we've got to be humble servants. Absolutely, we do. But you know what? The gospel of Jesus, the message that Nick shared with us this morning, that Jesus came and he gave life and he gave forgiveness. This message is far too important for us not to be significant, for us not to stand out, for us not to be doing all we can that the next generation will rise up and declare your goodness. If we are stuck on how things were and wanting to get back to how things were and wanting things to be easy and to be comfortable and never allow ourselves to be challenged, then we're living in sentimentality and we will never get to significance. If you do not want to be challenged, well, you're in the wrong place. We want, we need, we are passionate about the next generation rising up and taking their place. We are passionate in this church about that. I've preached that word every year, I think, for the last 10 years. I hope I keep preaching it for the next 10 years. I hope that we continue and we always are a church that is giving over, preparing the ground, letting the next generation have a win. Let them bring in what is unique to them, what they are passionate about. Because the next generation, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Father God, we are so grateful that we are in your house and in your kingdom. So grateful, Lord God, that you challenge us, each one. I want to pray for Inglewood Community Church. I want to pray for every person that finds themselves in this room this morning. I pray that they are a little bit uncomfortable this morning, a little bit challenged. I want to pray for us, each one, that your Holy Spirit will increase our capacity. Lord, we know not... Lord, we just want to share this with you. We do not want to be a church that is hidden away, not seen, not known. Because, Lord, you said in Ephesians, Lord, this is your promise. You said that the church is not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. And you, Jesus, are the center of that church. Lord, this is what you said. So this year, Lord God, we pray that in a greater way, our community, our suburbs, our city, our state, our world will see and hear about you as we, Lord God, be all we can be.